All these broke niggas be like, be hoes and gold diggers. Gotta shake 'em like a motherfucker. Shake 'em like a motherfucker. Shake 'em like a motherfucker. Shake 'em out. Shake 'em out. Shake 'em out. Shake 'em out. Shake 'em like a motherfucker. Shake 'em out. Shake 'em out. Shake 'em out. Shake 'em out. Shake 'em like a motherfucker.
Now, wrong bitches, get the hell off my phone. I'm sitting on some millions, you still sitting on chrome. Your bank account is clogged, 'cause it's missing all these commas. Seven series Beamer, still living with your mama. There'll never be a pimp tight light skin. Play a motherfucker like me. I'm a G and I'm a tipple. We never smoke none of the same grades, drink none of the same girls. We not fucking the same bitches, not slapping the same asses, eating the same food, or paying the same taxes, driving the same cars, or shop at the same places. When you bend your girl over, she don't make these same faces, motherfucker.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am back once again, once again. This is King Known Uncensored, Land of the Eliminated, Death of a Dynasty? We'll see, we'll see. Before we get to the main events, Rick Ross and Drake continue to go at it on social media as Rick Ross adopted multiple names for the rapper, including White Boy, and then he talked about his nose job, and then the most infamous and famous one at the same damn time, BBL Drizzy. You know, now they're talking about money, they're exchanging DMs. It's actually very entertaining. And Rick Ross, you know, released his Champagne Moments diss record, actually put it out. Unlike Drake, who has not officially put Push-Ups out as a song yet. So that's a very interesting back and forth. It's funny, but you know, I just wasn't a fan of Champagne Moments. I'm sorry. Let me double check just to make sure about this one. Hold on. All right, so Mark Danigault. This is the first award, y'all. So Mark Danigault, the Oklahoma City Thunder head coach, has been named the Coach of the Year. Now, I picked Chris Finch to win the award. You know what I'm saying? You know, I will live on the cross and die by the cross. That I felt like for him to keep Minnesota afloat as long as they've been, you know, I think he was a little bit more deserving. But Mark Danigault did lead, did help with the developments of Giddy, of Shea, of Chet, of Jalen Williams. And he was equally as deserving of the award as, you know, Minnesota's head coach. So congratulations to Mark Danigault. OKC Thunder is looking to have a deep playoff run this year, and I wish them luck and success. Now, Suns guard Grayson Allen has agreed on a 4-year, $70 million contract extension. Whoa. Yeah, Grayson Allen has had a lot of big games where he stepped up and hit big shots for this Suns team. And during this playoff run, he is going to be key and pivotal. But get your money, white man. Get your money. Detroit Pistons GM Troy Weaver will remain in place as the franchise begins a search of a new head of basketball operations. Darn, I was expecting Troy Weaver to be gone, man. But I did say that I felt like he was worthy of one more year before they fire him. Because Weaver's, whatever he was trying to do is not panning out. And the Pistons had the worst record in franchise history this year. A lot of changes have to be made. We'll get into that a little bit later. DJ Mr. C, you know, a legendary Brooklyn DJ, you know, his cause of death has been revealed by his family. I'm sorry about that. The family told AllHipHop.com that the medical examiner of New York City identified diabetes-related coronary artery and kidney disease as the cause of his death. Damn. Rest up, Mr. C. Kate Cunningham wants to improve his conditioning and his ball handling. And then he would also like to be more involved in the input of recruiting players to come to Detroit. I mean, he is our number one pick and he is our franchise player. So I completely understand why he would want, like, input on who the Pistons sign and who the Pistons work with in the future. Team USA has finalized their Olympic roster as it boasts names such as Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, Joel Embiid, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Tyrese Halliburton, Anthony Edwards, Drew Holiday, Bam Adebayo, and Kawhi Leonard. I have zero problems with this group, and I feel like this team will not lose one game. I don't care who is on all the other international teams. This is the dream team. Hopefully they all stay healthy. Because, you know, with Durant, James, Embiid, Davis, and Kawhi, all those guys have an injury history. So, I mean, I hope that I'm pretty sure that Team USA is going to take the gold with no problem. All right, so Blake Griffin retired. For a lot of people that know me, I did not like Blake Griffin when he was a Piston. I feel like the Pistons as a franchise gave up way too much to get Griffin, especially a Blake Griffin that was past his prime. But however, in his prime, let me tell you something. You had to be there to see a prime Blake Griffin, ladies and gentlemen. Blake Griffin was explosive. He was known for dunking. He jumped over a car at the dunk contest. And then later on in his career, developed a nice little handle, pull-up jumper, passing skills. I mean, he was a well-rounded player. I think he's a future Hall of Famer, in my opinion. I mean, he was a 6-time All-Star, 5-time All-NBA, Rookie of the Year as well. And, of course, what holds a lot of people back from their true potential is injuries. He did suffer a lot of injuries. He played for the Clippers, the Pistons, the Nets, and the Celtics throughout his career. And he played 13 years. But man, if Blake Griffin hadn't have got injured, I think he would have had better numbers. I mean, his career numbers sit at 19 points per game, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists. But if you look at his prime, dude was a walking 20-8 easily. But congrats to Blake Griffin on a pretty good career. Hopefully, he'll get that Hall of Fame trophy one day. I wouldn't say he's first ballot, but goddamn, how many players are left here? I mean, do y'all believe that Blake Griffin is a Hall of Famer? I'm going to probably say yes. even though I wasn't his biggest fan. When he was a Piston, of course. I mean, all I really wanted Griffin to do was win one playoff game. And he was unable to do so. Even though I do respect him 1 year for trying to play injured against Milwaukee. But that's about all as far as that is concerned. I'm trying to think, like, do I close out? Matter of fact, let's get to tonight's games. We can do that first. So the play-in began tonight. As there were two exciting games. Well, one exciting, the other one, not so much. All right, so the Los Angeles Lakers defeated the New Orleans Pelicans 110-106. Let's look at the box scores before we talk about the game. All right, so LeBron James had 23 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. Anthony Davis had 20 points and 15 rebounds. Austin Reeves had 16 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. D'Angelo Russell had 21 points, 6 assists, 5 of 11 from 3. Gabe Vincent had 9 points off the bench. Brandon Ingram was disappointing. He shot 4 of 12 from the field. CJ McCollum was ass. 9 points, 4 of 15 shooting from the field. 1 of 9 from 3. Just a complete shit bag. Zion Williamson, the Don. 40 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. Before an unfortunate injury took him out the game in the fourth quarter. Trey Murphy was huge for the Pelicans. 12 points. Larry Nance, 10 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists. Jose Alvarado, 10.7 assists. My thoughts about this game was very simple. I mean, the Lakers dominated the game the first half. And the third quarter, Zion Williamson went off. And then he continued that trend into the fourth quarter. But however, he left the game with a hamstring injury. You know, they said that it was leg soreness, but it's actually a hamstring injury. And we don't know how serious that is. So my prayers and thoughts go out to Zion Williamson, man. I really hope he recovers because I'm a big fan of his and the New Orleans Pelicans as well. Man, that's messed up because this was going to have a hell of an ending. But CJ McCollum and Brandon Ingram need their ass kicked. They completely sold. Like, McCollum's performance shows that he is not a leader. And Brandon Ingram, I don't know if it was the fact that Brandon Ingram lost confidence in himself, or did Willie Green lose confidence in Ingram, or both. What do y'all think? Ingram and CJ cannot half-ass in this second game, which we'll get to. Now, we can discuss. Matter of fact, I'm trying to think, should I hold back until later? Yeah, I'm going to hold that thought until later. Because, you know, with this win, the Lakers clinched the 7th seed and a matchup and a rematch of last year's Western Conference Finals with the Denver Nuggets. I will go into details of this series on a later show, not this one. We are here to talk about Land of the Eliminated, not the other matchups quite yet. What is Decided Part 2 is going to detail the 1-8 and the 2-7 matchups. I will delve deep into that series. We'll talk matchups. We'll talk possible scenarios and who needs to step up and who doesn't need to step up. But the Lakers match up against the Nuggets. Very interesting. Now, this was an elimination game. The Sacramento Kings defeated the Golden State Warriors 118-94. Let's look at the box score of this game. Stephen Curry, 22 points, 8-16, 3-7 from 3. Jonathan Kuminga, 16 points, but they got no contribution whatsoever from the other Warriors. Oh yeah, Moses Moody had 16 points. He was solid, but it was too little, too late. Man, let's look at the Sacramento Kings. Harrison Barnes, 17 points. 5 of 11 from the field. 3 of 4 from 3. Keegan Murray, 32 points. 9 rebounds. Domantas Sabonis, 16 points. 12 rebounds. 7 assists. Keon Ellis, who was pretty much the X Factor. 15 points. 3 of 4 from 3. De'Aaron Fox, 24 points. My overall thoughts of this game is, damn, Golden State. These dudes ran out of gas by the third quarter. And Klay Thompson. We didn't even mention him. Klay Thompson was 0 for 10. 0 of 6 from 3. Klay Thompson need his ass whooped for that performance. If I'm Golden State, I'm letting Klay Thompson walk in free agency. I'm letting him walk. I don't even know if I'd take a pay cut at this point. But, you know, if Golden State wants to keep him, they should make him take a pay cut and make him come off the bench for the rest of his career, because he is not starting material. Those guys on the Kings blew him off the floor. And Harrison Barnes just completely destroyed his former teammate in the post. He can no longer defend. He's a defensive liability, and his shot is inconsistent. So he's got to play that Iguodala, Barbosa role. He's got to play that Vinnie Johnson role. Because 0 of 10 is unacceptable. This dude couldn't even make a layup. He couldn't even finish at the basket. Like, Klay, it might be that time for Klay to go. But more on that later. It was just complete domination in Sacramento. Sacramento clearly wanted revenge for them being eliminated at home in Game 7. And now the Kings will take on the Pelicans. Let's get into my prediction on that. My prediction is oof, this is going to be a tough game because, okay, I'm going to say it like this. If the Pelicans have Zion Williamson, even at 50%, I'm picking the Pelicans to beat the Kings because they're going to be in New Orleans once again on Friday. I think McCollum is going to have a better game, and I think Ingram is going to have a much better game. But Ingram has got to mentally be the number one option. If he's not playing, if Ingram doesn't score 18 to 25 points, the Kings are going to win the game. I say if Zion plays, I'm picking the Pelicans. And I'm just, if Zion plays, I'm picking the Pelicans. If Zion doesn't play, I'm picking the Kings. So if Zion's cleared to play, I'm picking the Pelicans. No Zion, Kings. Land of the eliminated, Golden State Warriors. Oh boy. Man, it's a sad day in hell. A lot of people and a lot of fans were tired of the Warriors doing all this barking and all this and that. But it all comes down to Draymond Green. It starts with him. He ruined the chemistry of the team by punching his teammate Jordan Poole. And the Warriors organization went with the veteran Draymond Green over a possible young stud or a possible young star in Jordan Poole. I would have chose Poole over Draymond. Or if I was going to trade Poole, I was going to trade Poole for a young player. I would have traded Poole for Jalen Suggs or somebody like that. You know what I'm saying? You paid this man in free agency so that he wouldn't leave. I mean, I'm sure that the Warriors are going to keep Chris Paul. I think, you know, the Warriors are going to keep Chris Paul, obviously. But Andrew Wiggins, Klay Thompson, I'm trying to move them. I mean, Klay Thompson can walk in free agency. That's $43 million off the books. That's a lot of money to clear off the books. I would go and chase the best free agent available. Preferably a star player or a young star to pair with Steph Curry. So LeBron's got a player option. Paul George has a player option. Ooh, a nigga like Paul George in Golden State. Got James Harden, a free agent. Tobias Harris, Pascal Siakam. DeMar DeRozan would be a great pickup for Golden State. I'd replace Klay with him easily. That'd be it'd be a start. That's probably the person that I would go after if I'm Golden State is Paul George, DeMar DeRozan. One of those two guys. But other than that, you know, free agents, Klay Thompson, Gary Payton Jr. has a player option. Dario Saric is a free agent. The Warriors have a lot of decisions to make in the offseason. But the number one thing that they have to do is get younger. Youth nowadays is the key to building a championship team. It's not always about old-ass, washed-up veterans. But however, I feel like Draymond and Klay need to take a lesser role if Klay decides to return, because the organization wants him back. I'm sure Steph wants him back. But if I were Mike Dunleavy Jr., I would let Klay walk. Unless I could get him for the veterans minimum. Especially after the way that he played last game. He was disgusting today. He was fucking filthy. All right. The Detroit Pistons, land of the eliminated. Oh boy, the home team.
This is dedicated to the niggas that was down from day one. Welcome to Death Row.
Like we always do about this time.
Let's do this, man. Detroit, land of the eliminated. We gonna start from the bottom and go all the way to the top. Pause. Super pause on that. My goodness. But Evan Fournier has a player option. He's definitely opting in. He's never going to make $18 million in a year again. James Wiseman is a free agent. Tough. I'd probably let him walk. I mean, Cade Cunningham's here. Aswar Thompson probably gonna stay. Malachi Flynn's a free agent. I'm the Pistons. I'm going to get a person that I'm going to get people, you know, in free agency that people don't necessarily want. I mean, hell, I'd go after Tobias Harris. That would be a good pickup for the Pistons. You could probably get him for cheap, too. Let me see. And then, of course, always build through the draft. The Pistons will never get a top-notch free agent unless that nigga, like, legitimately wants to come there, pause, or is from Detroit. So I would just continue to build through the draft. I would keep Cade, Ivy, Thompson, and Durin and build around them. And then either trade the rest of them to try to get like maybe a third possible star on the team or like a veteran presence. Washington Wizards, land of the eliminated. Washington fucking sucks. But this is exactly what I expected out of them. I expected them to be one of the worst teams in the league, but one of the most shooting attempts teams in the NBA. So you got Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma for the next 4 years. Obviously, you're building through the draft. I don't think anybody's going to come to Washington, bro. So more than likely, another development year. Hopefully, Jordan Poole steps into the role and actually matures as an overall basketball player and help the Wizards win 10 more games. Because this team is not it. They're not going to really get better through free agency unless they get the they dig all the way to the shit of the bricks and bring in smaller caliber players. But other than that, next year is probably going to be yet another developmental league, depending on developmental team. I'm sorry. But they're going to get a very high draft pick. They're going to get a top five pick. The Warriors definitely, I mean, not the Warriors, but the Wizards need to draft the best big man coming out of college. Pause. Portland Trailblazers landed the eliminated. I mean, DeAndre Ayton, the second half of the season, was much, much better than he was in the first half of the season. This is yet another young up-and-coming team. Will they keep Chauncey Billups? Is one of the questions that I have. Anthony Simons, if he's healthy next year alongside Scoot Henderson, oof, they're going to be much better next year, in my opinion. Plus have yet another high draft pick. Robert Williams, man, I hope he recovers. I mean, Portland can get into the mix of that Wild Wild West.
They did not.
I mean,
to stop Lord with the discipline he did.
But this Portland team has potential, though. Health is the main concern here because these guys' paws are athletic as fuck. I mean, from Simons, he got bounce. Shaden Sharp got bounce. Scoot Henderson has bounce. I think they have the talent. They just have to learn as a group. And DeAndre Ayton needs to take more of a leadership role next year if this team is going to improve. I mean, they have what it takes on paper. They just have to execute better. Not many free agents, obviously. I would have named them. Land of the Eliminated, Charlotte Hornets. I feel bad for Charlotte. Like, LaMelo Ball just can't seem to get to keep it together. If LaMelo Ball is healthy a whole season, the Hornets can knock on the play-in door. I mean, they did improve once Grant Williams came over there. Miles Bridges is a free agent. I'm pretty sure he's probably going to stay in Charlotte. Then it also depends on, like, I mean, you got an emerging star in Brandon Miller, who kind of started off a little bit slow, but closed the season out on a high note. Was a pretty decent rookie, too. Kind of disappointed in Mark Williams. I thought that he was going to be pretty good for them. They definitely need to draft the best center coming out of the draft next season. And maybe the best shooting guard as well. But Charlotte, probably en route to yet another developmental season. Land of the Eliminated, San Antonio Spurs. Now, San Antonio Spurs, that's a team that is going to be on the rise next year. I truly think that they could bring in somebody. I've been saying all along that they should trade for Trae Young. I think Trae Young would be a great pickup for this team. And all Victor really needs is another all-star. I mean, on paper, these young guys got potential like a Keldon Johnson, like a Devin Vassell, but I would trade Johnson. I would use Johnson in a trade to bring in somebody like a Trey, like a DeJounte Murray, even though DeJounte Murray probably wouldn't come back to San Antonio. But Trey Young, I think that would be an ultimate pickup for them. I mean, Pop would love a dude like like Klay Thompson over there. But with Victor's ceiling, you know what I'm saying? With Victor possibly closing in on a rookie of the year, it's going to be interesting to see what year two Victor is looking like. And hopefully it's alongside another all-star. Because honestly, the Spurs were much better than their 22-60 record. I had them winning 30-something games this year. Land of the Eliminated, the Toronto Raptors. Wow, what a fall from grace. I had thought that the Raptors would be possibly play-in bound, but unfortunately, they lost their best player, Pascal Siakam. Now, they did gain Canada's favorite son in RJ Barrett. Let me see if I did say San Antonio's free agents. Jetty Osman's their only free agent, but that's not important. The Raptors free agents, Bruce Brown has an option. Bruce Brown has an option. He can opt out this $22 million contract to be a free agent, but I highly doubt that. That nigga is staying one more year in Toronto. Gary Trent Jr. is a free agent. He can help so many contenders. Kelly Olynyk is a free agent. He can help so many contenders. Emmanuel Quickly can go out there and get a big payday from somebody. And Jordan Narara is also a free agent. Scotty Barnes, this is his time. This is his turn. He was an all-star this year. And this is his team now. But, you know, I have a feeling, you know, if Toronto doesn't do well in free agency, they'll get a very high draft pick. And they could build around that guy and Barnes. And it was long overdue for Toronto to get younger. They won that championship in 2019 and did not give Kawhi Leonard the bag. But I had a feeling that Kawhi did not want to be in Toronto. Land of the Eliminated, the Memphis Grizzlies. I feel so sorry for the Memphis Grizzlies because these guys had injuries across the board. Everybody on this team was hurt, so they had to go get guys from the G League to play for the Grizzlies. And it's a blessing and a curse because the blessing was you got to see Gigi Jackson's full potential. I had told y'all before that Gigi Jackson fell too low in the draft. He fell too low. And Jackson got to show that he was worthy of being on this team next year in the regular rotation. A healthy Grizzlies team is making the playoffs. I had the Grizzlies as a top five team in the West before they got hurt. I mean, hopefully Ja Morant comes back next year, revitalized, and hopefully he learned his lesson from his past mistakes. But now Ja's locked in. Ja, Bane, and Jackson are a formidable, solid three. Bane has all-star caliber numbers. Jaren Jackson Jr. was Defensive Player of the Year and an all-star before. And then them picking up Marcus Smart. Brandon Clark is 100% now. I feel like the Grizzlies are one rotational player away from a championship contender. If I'm the Grizzlies, I'm recruiting. you know, regular free agents in the offseason. Then, not to mention, the Grizzlies are going to have a high draft pick as well. So hopefully all the Grizzlies recover next year. Utah Jazz landed the eliminated. Utah was a team that I felt like had a lot of potential to make the play-in game, but I was wrong. Plus, injuries slowed them down early on in the season, and just when they were on a run, they fell apart. But there's a lot of potential in this team if they decide to keep Lauri Markkanen. But I feel like if you trade Markkanen right now, you can get a lot for him. More young players, more draft picks. We got to see rookie Keontae George. He was pretty good last year for the Jazz. Got a glimpse of the two rookies, Bryce Sensabaugh and Taylor Hendricks. They were okay. Walker Kessler was up and down all season. Sexton was consistent. Clarkson was solid. John Collins was up and down. It's just an up and down year for the Jazz, but maybe they could take that next step. Talen Horton Tucker's a free agent. Kyra Lewis Jr. is a free agent. Chris Dunn is a free agent. Meh. I feel like the Jazz need to develop their young players. And maybe they can take that next step into making the actual play. Land of the eliminated, the Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn Nets are building their team around Mikal Bridges. They have made that clear. And they also decided to try to give Ben Simmons another chance. By that logic, they are definitely not making the playoffs next year, and they will probably be much worse than they were even this year. Them picking up Dennis Schroeder was smart, but keeping Simmons was dumb as hell. I would have cut him and dealt with that $37 million on my contract, and then the next year, I would just use that to sign free agents. But you cannot win with Mikal Bridges being your best player. I'm sorry. I love Cam Thomas. I like Dorian Finney-Smith. I like Cam Johnson. But this Brooklyn Nets team, you know, they got a new coach. I think Budenholzer is their new coach, if I'm not mistaken. Sorry, y'all. Okay, so Budenholzer was not officially named their head coach. Got it. So I had to double check. But Brooklyn's still searching for a head coach and an identity. This is a team with no identity whatsoever. So hopefully they get that next year. because Bridges and them need like a certified superstar or a potential star. Maybe with a top 10 draft pick, maybe they can make up for the hole. Pause. Last but totally not least, landed the eliminated, the Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets were really close to gaining a playoff spot. And oh yeah, I forgot, before I get to Houston, Nick Claxton's a free agent. So, ooh, they got to re-sign him, because if they lose him, they're definitely not going to do anything. But yeah. Let's get back to the Rockets. The Rockets were a team that I expected to do a lot better with the veteran additions of Dylan Brooks and Fred VanVleet. They proved to be a success story to an extent, because they went from the, I believe they were, if not the second, one of the worst teams in the league, basically. One of the top two worst teams in the league, to almost getting the 10th seed. The pickup of Steven Adams next year is going to be lethal for them. Then Alperen Şengün, before his injury, he was establishing himself as the best player on the team and a potential all-star. But once Şengün got hurt, Jalen Green ended up stepping up and showing his full potential, and to show why he was a top two overall pick. Then, you know, you still have Jabari Smith Jr., Amen Thompson, Cam Whitmore, Tari Eason. Steven Adams has a player option. I'm pretty sure he's opting in. Jayshon Tate has a player option. And Aaron Holiday is a free agent. Reggie Bullock is a free agent. And Bohan is a free agent. So we'll see how loyal this Rockets organization is to their players. So I'm pretty sure that they're going to keep that core together in Houston. I honestly don't think that they need to make any free agent pickups. I think this team is fine just the way that they are. And they don't need to make any changes. I talk about everybody that was eliminated. Let me see. Yep. All right. I want to thank y'all for checking in with me. This is Keynote Uncensored. Land of the Eliminated, Death of a Dynasty, and I'm gone.